We have two scripture readings today. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, and our New Testament lesson comes from the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Will you bow with me again for our prayer for illumination? Living God, help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do through Christ our Lord. And may our words, our thoughts, and our deeds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Listen now. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teachings. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord. And now from Matthew's Gospel, the third chapter, verses 13 to 17. Again, hear God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Friends, today we gathered as the baptized of the Lord, and I've titled the message, "What Difference Will We Make in This New Year of 2020? Let's begin with the word of the prophet Isaiah, and let me give you some of the backstory. God has delivered the people of Israel, God's own beloved people, from years of bondage in Egypt. God made a covenant with them. God brought them through the wilderness and into the land of Canaan. The people of Israel became a nation. They built a temple for the Lord. And for years they saw victory upon victory in their battles. But at times they strayed from God and from God's covenant. And God used prophets like Isaiah to call them out of their wandering and to call them back to God. Then in the 6th century BCE, the Babylonians did the unthinkable. They defeated Israel. And to make matters worse, they tore down the temple. They plundered Israel's treasures and provisions and livestock. And then they took them, lock, stock, and barrel, into captivity, marching them in shackles and chains back to Babylon. The Babylonians crushed Israel, ending an era of prosperity and favor with God, politically, socially, economically, religiously. They were devastated, and they were despairing in Babylon, which led them to lament and say, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion." How could Almighty God allow this to happen? Had God abandoned Israel, stripped of the temple and of the land? Were they still even God's people? And most importantly, was God still God and still in charge of the universe and in charge of God's chosen people? From exile, Israel felt that God had somehow withdrawn from them, pulled back from them, and that they no longer were experiencing God's favor. This is the place of devastation. This is the place that the prophet Isaiah is speaking to them when he writes to them, offering this word of hope and promise. A word about a beloved and righteous servant who is coming to bring justice and restoration. Isaiah reminds the people of God reminds them who God is and how God continues to work. God is the God of Israel, but not only the God of Israel. God is also the God over Babylon and every other nation. For God created the heavens and stretched out the earth, he says in verse 5. This is the God of creation who made everything. This is the God who gives breath to every person on earth and gives us the Spirit that we might walk in it. God's breath animates not only the people of Israel, but every living creature on the face of this planet. And finally, this is also the God who has reached out to create a particular people, God's chosen people, the people of Israel, and to call them to righteousness and to hold them accountable. Isaiah proclaims this God acts in particular ways. First, God is going to send them a Spirit-filled servant who will bring justice, not domination. Second, God's work to bring justice in the earth will be to everyone, everywhere. God's servant will persevere until justice is done all the way, even to the coastlands. And that's good news for us, right? All the way to the beach. Third, God's purpose for God's people is to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. God is calling them to righteousness, not just for themselves, but for all the nations. That same message is for us. When we are called to righteousness, it's not just for our own good behavior, but it's for the sake of the nations. Isaiah reminds this exiled people that God has not abandoned them, but God is actively working among them, restoring them to be a blessing to the nations. This is good news. God is still God, and God's people are still God's chosen people. They still have a life purpose that extends beyond themselves to the whole earth. Isaiah shifts Israel's gaze here from themselves back to this wider view of God's promise when he says God is getting ready to do some new things and they're about to spring forth in your midst. This is a vision for a promising and hopeful future for Israel. On this first Sunday of Epiphany, we celebrate Jesus coming out publicly to fulfill his calling. And it begins with his baptism by his cousin John. He's come into the world as a light that darkness cannot overcome, John tells us in his gospel. And to be a light to the nations, as Isaiah says in 42 verse 6. Matthew 3 marks the baptism story of Jesus, and it also brings in an echo from Isaiah 42. We hear that the Spirit of God is descending upon Jesus at his baptism. And a voice from heaven claims, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The promise of beloved servanthood continues from the prophet Isaiah's time to Matthew's time, and then from Christ to us. In Jesus, God once more sends a righteous servant who will bring justice, who God has anointed to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. During Epiphany, we recognize and receive Jesus as this righteous servant of God, the one who came not just for the people of Israel, but for all people. In Matthew 3, 1-17, we find John ahead of Jesus, sent to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. He's clearing obstacles that might prevent people from coming to him. He's ruffling feathers with those who are not serving God's will. He's drawing crowds in the wilderness, people coming to hear this wild man in the wilderness. And he's offering them baptism, calling them to repent, to change the direction of their lives. For this new thing that God is about to do, he's preparing them in baptism. John confronts the religious powers that be of his day. He challenges the foundations of their faith and practice. He charges them not to ride on the coattails of their tradition or the faith of their fathers and mothers, but to take hold of this faith for themselves and to repent, to redirect their lives from doing things their own way and to begin to do things God's way, living for God, serving God's righteousness. And it's into this setting where Jesus wades out into the water and meets John where he's baptizing. He's come to be revealed in the midst of this crowd of desperate people. John's baptism, as we know, is said to be a baptism for the repentance of sin. And while Jesus had no sins to repent of, no need of John's baptism, yet Jesus shares in baptism, associating fully with us and for us, taking our sins upon himself as he embarks on this ministry to be the Savior of the world. John, of course, is reluctant to baptize Jesus. As cousins, he knows who Jesus is. He knows the special nature of Jesus' mission, that Jesus is the Messiah. And John feels totally unworthy not only to baptize him, but not even to tie his shoes. But Jesus utters his first words in Matthew's gospel, words of assurance and affirmation to John when he says, "Let it be so for now, in fulfilling all righteousness." And so John consents, Jesus enters into the water, and he enters into baptism with us and for us, the sinners that he's come to save. And then that voice of heaven reminds us, this one's special. He's mine, and with him I'm well pleased. So Jesus entered into baptism to show you and me the way to live as God's beloved children, to fulfill all righteousness, to live in ways that would be pleasing to God, that would be building the kingdom of God, starting here and now, today. Friends, this is Jesus. This is God with us, God in the flesh, who meets us where we are, but when he finds us where we are, he's not content to leave us there. He doesn't want us to be lost, wandering, confused, misdirected, angry, hateful or selfish. He loves us too much for that. And so He meets us where we are and begins to move us by grace and love in the direction of righteousness. God calls us to repent and be baptized and offers us grace to pursue our life's purpose and calling with Jesus. Whatever chosen field we might have as our vocation, to our righteousness with Christ and serve God in all those various places. God invites us to join in the shared mission of Christ's followers in transforming this world that we live in, giving us love to share, not just love for ourselves, but love that overflows within us so that we have love to give to all. God's love is given so that we might share it with everyone that we encounter in this lifetime. Because love is what transforms the world. Love is what transforms relationships. Love is what keeps churches on track. It's not just the easy ones that we're called to love, but all people. Even those that we might perceive to be our enemies or adversaries, we're called to love them too. Friends, don't settle for New Year's resolutions that are purely self-focused or even self-serving. A little more of this or a little less of that in the new year. All of these will likely have failed by the first of the new month. What difference, however, will our baptism and beloved status with God make for the good of others and the good of the world? We've been given a new chance, a new year, and we've been baptized for a purpose. As beloved children of God, I hope we can make 2020 the year where we each ask each day, God, what would you have me do for you today? For the greater good of others in the world and for the greater good of your kingdom. How can I help you, God? So much of our prayer time is telling God what we think we need or want and how we want God to help us. But this is turning that around and saying, God, how would you like us to help you change your world and bring your kingdom to fruition? See, we've been baptized to make a difference. Will we? I want to close with a passage from Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love, that she wrote back in 1992. Williamson is a spiritual activist, author, lecturer, founder of the Peace Alliance, and until dropping from the race this past week, was even a presidential hopeful. Hear what she says. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone as we let our own light shine. We unconsciously give others permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. There is no more powerful motivation than to feel that we are being used in the creation of a world where love has healed all wounds. We're no longer ambitious for ourselves, but rather are inspired by a vision of a healed world. Inspiration rearranges our energies. Its sources within us become new and powerful in giving us direction. Will you please bow with me now for prayer? Dear God, help me to quit looking back over my shoulder, living in my past failures. Help me to look forward to the new things that you are doing even now, to create new life even in wilderness places or places of captivity. Help our baptism, our beloved child status, to propel us to serve you here among the least and the lost. Show us all the simple and not so simple ways that you need us to be your heart and your hands in the world today, so that people will not look at us or our church as being irrelevant and disconnected from the needs of the nations and the needs of our neighbors. We are baptized for a purpose. May we feel God's spiritual flow within us and let it motivate us to serve others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.